All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Alana Song Hopes of Heaven podcast. And today I would like to welcome Alicia Anderson to the podcast. She is an angel mom. She's on this grief journey. She's a grief support coach. She has information that's going to help us get through our day, maybe a second, maybe a minute. She has encouragement to offer us to help us get along the way. And I'm not going to take too much of time of me talking because I like to give my moms the floor and just let them get off what they have to say to help us heal in this journey that none of us want to be a part of, but we have to. We were
Absolutely.
chosen for some reason, and we're going to get the strength to carry on, to move on, to shine our baby's light. So, welcome, Alicia. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much, Angela, for having me. I am so honored. I was telling Angela before we started that I always love to get these type of DMs where people invite me to their different platforms to not only share my son DJ, but also just to be of encouragement and just for connection. Because I really do believe that one of the really good ways to help us along this grief journey is to find community.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I love that when I see people reach out to me and connect, and especially Black women, women of color,
Yes.
when we actually get to sit in our grief because we are not often allowed to do that. And so I just love that from that standpoint. So thank you for having me.
Yes.
But as Angela mentioned, my name is Alicia Anderson. I currently reside in California, Southern California. I've been here about 5 years. I am here with my husband. And then I have two living children, Grayson and Gavin. Grayson just turned 6 last weekend, and Gavin will be 3 next month. So yeah, so I have my hands full. I'm a boy mom through and through. And so I am here because I am a lost mom. And so my journey, I always start my journey of motherhood with my love story because I met my husband at an internship. So we both went to different colleges in two different states. We were in New York for a summer for 10 weeks. And I met him there, and I always tease him, and I was like, I never thought I would see him again once we left. Like, we connected, we had a great time, but like I'm not gonna see this guy. So he proved me wrong. We stayed in contact once we left, and you know, had a budding friendship, and then we ended up making it official about a year later. And so we lived in different states. I always mention this because we lived in different states until we got married. So we dated 4 years, so we were long distance that entire time. So he was in, he went to school in Louisiana. We both went to HBCUs. He went to Southern, I went to FAMU. So I was in Florida, he was in Louisiana. And then I moved home to Michigan. He got a job in Georgia once we both graduated. And so we were long distance that entire time, planned our wedding, got married, and I finally moved to Georgia 4 years later. And I say all that because, of course, when you get married, everybody's like, when are you gonna have kids? Like, that's just the next question. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not in a rush because I want to, you know, actually get to enjoy my husband, and we're finally in the same state. I get to actually enjoy his company. So we didn't even start trying till about 3 years after we got married. And so I know some people are like, okay, you know, clock is ticking. But I just was like, no, I always liked kids, but I didn't know if I would be a mom. And so I was like, I had nieces and nephews, and I was like, I love them. I'm great auntie. But I was like, I don't know, like if I'm meant to be a mom. So if I do, great. If I'm not, that's fine too. And so when we finally decided, okay, let's do this. I was on birth control at the time, and so my doctor said, oh, it's probably going to take you about a year to get pregnant. So I said, okay, that's fine. And so we got off, and a month later I got pregnant.
Whoa, whoa.
Okay, so that was my first indication that motherhood is not what they tell you. I was like, it has a mind of its own. And so we were really excited. My husband, it cracks me up every time when I've had my subsequent pregnancies. He never believes the pregnancy test. He's like, too faint. I don't believe it. You need to go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor because my husband was like, I was like, I'm pregnant. He's like, no, that line is so faint. I don't think so. So I go and they're like, you are indeed pregnant. We were really excited. This was the first grandchild on my husband's side. Mm-hmm. Then on my side, I am the only girl and I'm the baby. And so. Very excited on both sides of our family, and we were just like, okay, we're doing this, okay, like and so I always say my pregnancy was pretty textbook. I always, you know, thank my son. I never was sick. I was always really tired, but never had morning sickness or anything like that. So it was a very chill pregnancy. I was like, he's probably gonna be a lot like his dad because my husband is very even keel. So I was like, he's problem baby, we just chilling, we're relaxing. And so everything went well for those first 28 weeks, and then I went into an appointment. It was just like a regularly scheduled appointment. I was supposed to be testing for my glucose test to see if I had gestational diabetes. So they bring me in, they're like, take the drink. They said, in the meantime we have to wait, so we're gonna do an ultrasound. And so it was just like very mundane, come in, let's do it, let's get this over with, let's test results. So I go into the ultrasound room. My husband always came with me to all my appointments, so he's there, the ultrasound tech, and I was in Georgia at the time, so I clearly remember this lady's voice. Like, I can kind of vaguely remember her face. I know she had like a short haircut, but I remember her accent. And so she's like, oh, do you have to use the restroom? So I said, yeah, let me go, because I hadn't seen him on screen for like 8 weeks when we did the gender test.
Okay.
And so she's scanning as she starts the test, and she's like slowly doing it, but she was like, you could tell she had like a slight concern, but it didn't rattle me, because this is like my first time being a mom. So I'm like, okay, she knows what she's talking about. So she kept saying, there's not a lot of fluid around the baby. And I didn't know what that meant. So I was just like, okay. And my personality is like definitely glass half full kind of thing. So I'm we'll just drink more water. We'll get more fluid. You know, like, I'm not even registering anything is actually a problem. And so she kept scanning, and then she's like, I'm going to go get the doctor. And that was the first time that something was like, ooh, this probably is not good. But I didn't think like dire. I just thought maybe not good, something we're going to have to work on. So she comes back in, she cleans me up, and she says, I'm going to take you across the hall. So I was like, oh my God, this is not good. Because while she was gone, my husband, he's very much the calm one. So he's like, we're not going to jump to conclusions. We're just going to wait to hear what they say. So we go over, like, having no clue what we're about to walk into. And there's two doctors in there. So I was like, okay, another red flag. This is not good.
Yes.
Again, you know how bad it was. And they're just like, we're so sorry your baby doesn't have a heartbeat. And I was just like, okay, what does that mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
they're like,
yeah.
Basically, like, they didn't say these words, but just, we're sorry your baby doesn't have a heartbeat. So they're basically, that's processing in my mind. So I'm like, my baby died.
Right.
Okay. So they're like, we're going to excuse ourselves for a second just to let you process. So they left for about 10 minutes, and I just scream, like, a very primal scream. Yeah. I never heard my body do that. And I and my husband was just like, okay, we have to get it together, because both of us were engineered by trade. So, but his mind is so logical. So he's like, okay, let me get it together. My wife is really having a rough time.
Yeah,
so
falling apart.
Next step, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I was just like, it felt like when they came back in the room, I was in Charlie Brown, where it's just like, womp, womp, womp. Yeah. I don't know what they said to me, but I just remember my husband like, okay, what are the next steps? And so they said, well, you can come in today, because it was a Friday. So they were like, you can come in today, we can admit you. You can come in sometime this weekend, and you can kind of process at home tonight and come back in either Saturday or Sunday, or you can kind of let your body take its course and go into labor when your body's ready. But they were like, we don't kind of recommend that option just because if something goes wrong, we want to make sure we preserve you, mom.
Yes.
And so I said, okay. My husband and I saw it and we said, we'll come back tomorrow to be admitted. And so we went home and I still to this day don't know how I drove home because my husband and I drove separate.
Okay.
So, and luckily my house was not too far from the doctor's office. So it was probably 10, 15 minutes away. Mm-hmm. But it was the crazy, like, I just felt like I was driving in a fog home.
Yes.
And my brain was just like, you went, you woke up, you were pregnant, and now your baby is gone. Like, in a matter, and I remember because I used to journal and write, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited I get to see my baby today. Like, I just woke up with absolutely no clue what that day was going to bring. And it literally was the day my life changed. Like,
yes,
I could not believe it. And so we went home. My husband ended up calling all of our parents. So he called them like one by one. And I wrote a book. So my book is called Still Here, A Memoir of Love, Lost, and Triumph After Stillbirth. But in that, in the first chapter, I just talked about how when we got that news, it felt like my husband was just like detonating bombs, like calling our parents. And they all were just so excited. So just to hear their like concern and, you know, they're trying to hold it together for us. And, you know, but they're still, you know, grieving. They're the grandparents. And so I just remember my dad saying, at least for my side of the family, he's like, I'll call everybody. My dad is a pastor, so he deals with this type of stuff lost and often. And so I was so very thankful for him in this journey at the very beginning because he did a lot of heavy lifting for us. So he's like, I'll call our family, let your brothers know. And so he did do that. And while we were home, we just kind of let ourselves fall apart. So my husband and I, like, prayed and cried and ate, and we just like sat in silence for that evening, pretty much. Like, I cannot believe this happened. And so I just remember that evening I wrote in my journal, and I still have that entry. And I just wrote till my hands got tired. I just was like, God, why? Why would you do this to me? Like, it makes no sense. What is happening? Like, my life was going so well. You told me to do all these things, go to school, get married. I did all that, you know, the right way. And I was just like, what is this? You know? And so I just remember like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I said, but just please give me peace. And so that was like the end of that journal entry. So when we go into the hospital the next day, we had a 8 a.m. appointment. I go in, I literally packed nothing. Because I had no clue what to expect.
Right.
And one of the things that I did the previous evening was I Googled, what do you call a baby that dies at 28 weeks? And that's when I heard the term stillbirth. So that was my first time being introduced. And I really, I just want our healthcare system to do a better job at really explaining what motherhood could look like, because there are so many women in my shoes that lose babies, but we don't talk about it. So it it feels like you're the only one, number one. And it's just like, how did I not know that there was this whole community of women that have suffered in silence? And that just was so big to me. I'm just like, how did I not know this? And so like when I Googled that, I just looked at, I wanted to see like pictures, like what is my baby going to possibly come out and look like? And so that was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to deliver an actual baby. Cause my husband and I were literally so green. We were like, what do they do with the body? Do they just throw it away? Do they, you know, like, we had no clue what to expect. And I had texted friends of mine and I just wanted to let them know what I was going through. So I said, this is what happened. We lost the baby. I don't want you to call me. Don't call me. But I just want you to know. And one of my really dear friends texted me and said, I know this is going to sound crazy, but when you go to the hospital, if you're up for it, please see the baby. She said, my cousin had a stillbirth a couple years ago, and that's your only piece of closure you're going to get. And so she like, I know it sounds hard. I know it sounds crazy, but see the baby. Because my husband and I were like on the fence. We're like, I don't want to see a baby that died. Like,
yes.
That just feels ridiculous. And so when she texted me that, I kept that in the back of my head. So once we got to the hospital, they had us in a room. In my hospital experience, I know for sure God was there. I know it. I know for sure, because we get there, they put us in this room at the end of the hall. We saw no pregnant people. We saw no babies. And they get us in. It's a huge room. I'm by myself with my husband. And they're just like, the first nurse that came into my room was this older Black lady, and she just hugged me.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. She said, I know, baby, it's going to be okay. God got you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I just like fell in her arms. I don't even remember her name, but I just was like, okay, we're here. We're doing this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I felt like I was more so in go mode at that point. And they just came in. I had nurses in and out. And one thing the hospital did where I was, they put this leaf on the door. So it's like a picture of a fallen leaf. And that represents that your baby died. And so when the doctors and nurses come in, they make sure that they're sensitive to this family that has just lost the baby. So they don't want to come in. Oh, how's the baby?
Yeah.
You know, are you excited? So they come in very thoughtful. And so I really appreciated that. And then they just gave me this checklist of things. It's like, do you want to name your baby? Do you want to see your baby? Do you want to hold your baby? Do you know? And it's like overwhelming. You're in shock. You're like, I cannot believe I'm here to deliver a baby. Like, right. I don't think people understand that.
No, because I'm trying to wrap my brain around it.
Yes. So you're like, I'm going into the hospital. I'm delivering. So it's like they set you up like you're going through an actual delivery, but just your baby will not be alive when it comes out.
Wow.
And so that to me just felt like, this is insane. I could not even picture, that was not even a thought in my mind that something that could happen in 2016.
Yeah.
And here I was. So my husband and I got this list. They're like, do you want to cremate your baby? Do you want to bury your baby? Your funeral home? Like, they literally gave us like a list of things. And we're just like, okay. So one thing we said before we went to the hospital, we're like, we're a team.
Yes.
Whatever we decide together, that's what it's going to be. And we're going to make these decisions together. And so that was helpful for us.
Yes.
Because we were able to just like, okay, this sucks. We are in a very rough position, but we have each other. And so that did make it a little better. My mom did fly into town that morning.
Yes.
And so she was at the hospital with us. So she kind of like filled the calls for us. If people tried to call, she was like our secretary. And she would keep people updated so that I didn't have to kind of focus on that kind of stuff. We were in the hospital. So I say all that because I did not pack a hospital bag. I thought we're just going to go in. They're going to get the baby out and we're going to leave.
Right.
I was in the hospital 3 days. And so
you delivered a baby. Yeah.
I delivered. Yeah. And I did not deliver him until we went there on the Saturday. I did not deliver him till Monday. And so like my body was going through labor.
Labor. Wow.
And so it was just like, I could not even fathom. But one of the things that, and this is why I say I think God was there. So I had asked for peace that, you know, the day before when I was writing, and I got this nurse. So she came in on Saturday. Yes, Saturday. She came in on Saturday. Her name was Nurse Ginger. I'll never forget her. And she came in, she worked that day, and then she's like, I'm off Sunday. But she just really took a liking to my husband and I. And so when she came back Monday, she asked for us. She asked to be our nurse.
Yes.
And so when she got there, my son was born at 5, I believe, 41 a.m. on Monday morning.
Okay.
So she was there that morning on that early shift. She helped deliver him. And she was like, what do you guys want to do? So when he came out, I was like, we're going to see him. And they put him in my arms, and I kid you not, it felt like the most beautiful experience I've ever had. I was like, this is the baby that I've sang to and prayed for and talked to, and like just to hold him and have him. It just felt like this moment is so right with the world. But you know, they're born in the silence. They're not living. And so the room is dead silent. My mom had opted out of being in there with us. She was just like, I don't think I can handle it. She was not in there. So it was literally myself and my husband with my son, DJ. And we just held them. And I, like, my husband was like, you're doing a lot. But I just, like, looked at every crevice of his body.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I'm looking, you know, lifting the folds. And I want to see his eyes. And I was just like, he was just so beautiful, you know. And it looked like he was asleep.
Yes.
That's kind of what it looked like. And so we're just in there. And to this day, we still don't really know how much time we spent with them. It was probably like maybe 2 or 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they came in, they did like fingerprints. They did everything that they would typically do with the living baby. So they cleaned them off. They measured them. They weighed them.
Wow.
Gave us his handprints and footprints. And then they had a photographer come in free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
And she took photos of him and took photos of us together.
Wow.
So those are like one of the most prized things I own. Because I'm like, you're putting a lifetime worth of memories into one meeting. And I don't know if people like understand the gravity of that.
Wow.
But when they say like, yeah, you know, you could just have another baby. It's like, no, this was a baby that I held in my body.
Yes.
And it just was such a beautiful moment. And once he started like turning cold and, you know, his body started to change. So we were like, I think it's time.
Uh-huh.
And so we said, we're going to pray for him before we let him go. So we would just like, God, we dedicate him back to you. We know his life had a purpose. He meant something to us.
Wow.
We are his parents. That was one thing the doctors told us. They were like, even though he's not living, you will always be his parent. And so I take that to heart to this day. And so once we prayed, we called our nurse in, she came and rolled them out, and we just lost it. It was just like, you said hello and goodbye in the same day.
Wow.
And you're just like, the gravity of this moment, I don't get it back. And so I hope that people who may be of support to somebody that's grieving understands like, this is not something that is just taken lightly. Like, this is our baby. We see them as our children.
Yes.
They just don't live earthside. You know what I mean? And so that really was just like a crazy moment in itself. But then, and he looked just like my husband. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, this is your twin. Like,
yeah.
You look just alike. But before we got discharged, my nurse came in and she said, I just wanted to sit you all down and have a conversation.
Uh-huh.
So her mother had experienced a stillbirth.
Okay.
And this was many, many years ago, probably 30, 40, 50 years ago. And she said, my mom always told us we had another sibling. And she said she always, you could tell she misses that baby. And so she just told us like some real things. She said, I deal with couples that lose babies a lot in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here are some things I want you to consider or look out for as you leave. So she's like, you and your husband will ultimately grieve differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to look different. It's going to feel different. And we don't want you all to fall apart because of it. We want you to draw closer. So give each other space, but draw close to each other. So that meant a lot. She's like, people are going to distance themselves from you.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what to say, or they're going to say something very dumb to you and you're going to be upset, and they're not going to mean it, but they're going to say some crazy things. So be ready for that.
Yeah.
And like, she just went down this list of things, and we were just like, what did we do to deserve such, such a nurse? Like, she just took a liking to us, and that, like, she just gave us so many nuggets. And I was like, if it had not been for her and my experience at the hospital, I think my grief journey would have looked completely different. But because she like kind of set us up to kind of know what to look for. And she also, this was a big one. She told me, if you don't feel like you're getting better, get help.
Uh-huh.
And that was huge, because I did not feel like I was getting better. I left.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you leave empty handed. They gave us like a box of things, they gave us blankets and all this stuff, but it's like, there's no baby.
Yes.
So my arms feel empty. I'm getting rolled out on the delivery floor, and it's just like, but there's no baby.
Wow.
So when I got outside, I was just like, the world, it just made me mad, really. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, the sun is shining, people are laughing, you know, like
life is going on.
Yes, the world keeps going. And I'm like, I just fought for my life in this hospital.
Yeah.
Like, I just sent my baby to a funeral home because we ended up having him. We had an autopsy done of him and we had him, we wanted him cremated. Mm-hmm. And so the funeral home came and picked up his body. And it was just like, I'm angry. Like, why does the world get to keep going? And I just like had my whole life rearranged in a matter of 3 days.
Yeah.
And so, I just got home and I was just like, this is crazy. And so I just was like, and my husband, I remember him saying, like, this is going to mean something. We don't know what, but it's going to mean something at some point.
Yes.
And I was just like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Because you're in this fog. You're in this.
Yeah.
You're in this head fog.
Yeah, I was like, too early. I don't want to talk about purpose. I don't want to talk about meaning. I don't want to talk about any of that. My baby just died. You know, like, you really just want to wear a shirt that says, my baby died. Like, treat me, you know.
Leave me alone. All of the above.
Exactly. So it was just rough. And I just remember writing. And I was just like, I don't feel like I'm getting better. And I would see my husband, like, and he would just, like, I would fall apart at night. Like, I could compartmentalize my day. So at the time, I was in school to get my second bachelor's degree. So it was my senior year, my last semester when I lost my son.
Oh.
And I was just like, okay, how am I going to do this? Like, my grades are good. And I'm, like, very driven. So I was like, my grades are good. I have 4.0. I don't want to lose my 4.0. But I also just lost a baby. How am I going to, like, compartmentalize these two things that mean a lot? And so I just was like, I don't think I'm getting better. I need help. And so we didn't even know where to start because this is my first time looking for support in any way.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor. So, you know, a lot of the times we hear just pray it away. You know, God can handle it. And I'm like, those things are all true. However,
I need more.
I'm going to need a little addition. Yeah.
I need
the prayer and my time with God, because I said, me and God, they have very honest discussions. And I was like, I knew God, but this exposed the nature of God. Because I was like, you hear your grandparents and stuff, oh, you know, keep on living. God is going, you know, he's a way maker. He'll do this.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, yeah, you hear it. But it's like, when you get thrust in that, then it's like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is a little different. It's a little different. And so, yeah, I ended up just looking for help, and I ended up finding it through my counseling service at school.
Oh, wonderful.
So it ended up being free.
Wonderful.
I got 10 sessions. It spanned throughout my last semester. And so when I talk about, like, God's fingerprints, I literally thought, like, when I can look back, I see, like, how he orchestrated a lot of things that just lined up in my journey to healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the piece that really was like, okay, like, my counselor, for that to be my first time, she was like, I haven't dealt with any student who lost a baby, but I've had family who have.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's unpack. And so she really helped me to, like, figure out, what does it look like to be a parent who lost a baby? She's like, this doesn't mean you have to stop parenting, you know? And what does that look like? It could mean honoring somehow. And so I thought about, what ways can I honor him? She said it could look like writing. You like to write. So that's where my book idea came from. And so she just gave me, like, different perspectives. And because she wasn't somebody that was connected to me, it felt good to have an outside perspective, because they weren't, like, worried about me, or it was just more like, this is what I see, and I want you to consider maybe this, you know?
Yep.
And so she just helped me tremendously. And one of the things that she pointed out, I always would talk about my feelings as if they were, like, good or bad. I was like, today I was sad.
Yeah.
That's not good. I'm crying. I don't want people to see me cry, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, they're not good or bad. They just are. You can be. Like, you can just rest in those. Like, you don't have to do anything. You're not just freed me. Because I was like, I don't have to, like, put on this mask or air. And so those are, like, the nuggets that were planted into me into me starting my grief journey out loud, where I would say, like, I don't feel good today. I'm really mad. I'm really sad, you know? And people would DM me and just like, oh my God, that is me. Like, your transparency is helping me. Even if it wasn't necessarily they were grieving a baby, they might have been grieving a spouse or somebody. And they were just like reaching out to me because they were like, the transparency is helping, because we all are going through something. And that's what this loss really made me see. Number one, like, so many people walk around and you think they're perfectly fine and they are dealing with so much. And so compassion is just number one. Like, you don't know what you're stepping into when you meet somebody. And so just being kind and giving compassion to others, because you really just don't know. And that was something that my son taught me very early on. But now, being on the other side of this, it's been 7 years. And so I've just learned so much. I just learned how to honor what my grief looks like. I'm like, there's going to be days where I'm going to be a mess, and that's fine. There's going to be days when I find joy, because at the beginning, that felt like a diss to my son to be happy.
I like, was like, why am I smiling?
Why am I laughing? My son died. That felt like, oh my gosh, I am dishonoring him by being joyful. And so I finally was able to rectify, like, joy and grief and gratitude, all those things can be mixed in. I don't have to pick. And then another one was hard, that was hard, when I got pregnant with my second son. Because it felt like, I don't want people to forget DJ. Like, my second son is not a cure to my son. Like, my son still died. Like, and my second son did not replace my son that died. He still is his own entity. And I didn't want people to forget him. And so I always was like, how do I honor DJ and celebrate Grayson? So that was kind of my mantra. Like, I'm honoring DJ through my motherhood, through what I show up as. He is with me. He made me a mom. He's the one that made me a mom. He's not a race. But Grayson has introduced light back into us, because I ended up getting pregnant 6 months later. After my loss. So it was very quick. And that pregnancy was hard. My hardest of all three. Hardest by far. He was born 6 weeks early. So he spent a week in the NICU. And I think I was like, I cannot take anything else. Nothing else could go wrong. You know what I mean? And that's just when I learned, like, motherhood is not this straight line and you're just have a baby, find your spouse or find your partner. You know, you're going to get married. You're going to have a baby. It's going to be all fine in 9 months and you're going to go on and live a happy life. I learned that through DJ, through Grayson. And then my youngest even was born 5 weeks early during the pandemic. It was very early in the pandemic. So it was just like all of these things I've accumulated to make my motherhood journey. And I was just like, I've been able to connect with so many different parents because of those experiences. And so when my husband says, this is going to mean something, you know, 7 years ago.
When you didn't want to hear it.
I did not accept that at the time, but now I can see that it did, you know, with me. I wrote a book. I work with the organization now where I am a support coach for a group of people of color. So it's like a 6-week course where all these parents come in, our moms come in, and we're just talking about the realness of what grief looks like as a person of color. Grieving on top of, you know, we're not even talking about life. The other things, exactly, like dealing with racism and dealing with microaggressions and dealing with, you know, just being women and walking out and what our skin and our culture means to people that don't look like us, on top of, you know, losing babies and that part, and really, like, rectifying that culturally we've been done a disservice when we're taught, like, keep pushing. You're a superwoman, black girl magic, this, and it's like, all of those things can be true, but we need rest. We need time to break. We need time to acknowledge, you know, and those are the things that I've learned as a facilitator when I see these moms that were in the seats that I was in, you know, 7 years ago, and I look, That was me. I was broken. I didn't know what I was going to do. And then I found something that gave me a little bit of purpose. And now I'm like, now it's my mission to make sure that we can talk about grief openly. Because I'm like, especially us, we deserve, if anything else, to have a safe space to talk about grief. We have been through a lot.
Yes.
And so that's kind of where I am now, where I just am on that healing, helping, purpose kind of driven space where I can just use DJ's life, and I call this like his legacy work. Where I can be a voice for moms that have been through this journey, and knowing that you're not alone, and you don't have to do this silently. You can find your community, find your tribe. If you can't, I have all the resources. You know, I have so many organizations and people that I'm connected to. Like, if what I do doesn't work for you, I'm sure I can point you to somebody, because we just want help. We want us to find the help and the healing and not having to do this in silence. So that's kind of, I know that was a long-winded way to get to the end, but you know, this is means a lot to me to be able to honor DJ in this way. And my kids know who he is. We talk about him often. And so it's just like, he's a part of us now. He's a part of our life and family structure. So yeah, it means a lot to me.
Wow. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only mother who you touched on so much that doesn't even cross our minds of what giving birth to a stillborn. It just doesn't even cross our mind, because like everyone, you think you go to the hospital to have a baby, you're leaving with a baby. And I'm still trying to get my mind around everything you were saying. It's just,
And when I, like, I literally, I have this picture here. So like he has, let me see if I can. So like my baby, like, and I was like, I don't think people, when they hear, oh, she had a stillbirth, or she had a miscarriage, or she, you know, like, they don't equate that to like a baby. It's like, oh, that experience is done. She's gonna move on. I just talked to a friend of mine who said she just lost her baby maybe a couple months ago. And this was her fifth child. So like mine was my first. So she has four living children, and this was her fifth. So she's like, how do I explain to my kids that their siblings not coming home?
Not coming home.
How do I like explain to people? Because people are like, well, you should be grateful. You have kids already. And she's like, that does not take away.
That does not replace.
Yes. And I think that's a huge one that people of support, a lot of people are saying, well, what can we do? How can I help? And it's like, don't say that.
At all. At all.
Please don't say that. But another is just like, I had to learn that the version that I was when I went into the hospital with DJ was gone. And I had to grieve her. I had to grieve that version of me. I was like, I want to get back to her. I miss, you know, going and waking up and thinking, oh, well, I could just have a baby. That, all of that is out the window. Like, so when I got pregnant again, I was a nervous wreck. My anxiety was like up here. Because I was like, that version of the blissful, you know, colored glasses of pregnancy are gone. I don't get that luxury anymore. So I was telling her, cause she's like, I don't feel like I'm myself. And I was like, you're not. You're a new person.
New
you person. Have to get to know this version of you and mourn and grieve. I was like, you're not only grieving your baby, you're grieving her. Like, and you have to give grace to your new version because you're trying to figure it out. Like, you're being reborn just as much as, you know, your old self. And so it's just so many layers. And I don't think people realize that when people say, oh, they lost the baby. They just think baby.
I didn't listening to you. I did not. I'm just sitting here trying not to sit with my mouth open. I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's all the layers. And I don't think people realize that. And you wouldn't know. I literally knew none of this. And I'm sure I've said some of the things that they don't say to people grieving before. So it's like, you don't know till you know. And so you just, I always tell people, like, give the people in your around you, Grace, because they're like grieving too.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to figure it out just as much as you. And yeah. So like when I started to open up, my mom was like, well, if you could do it and you had the baby, like, mm-hmm. what is my excuse?
Yeah.
So it just has helped my family be yeah. able to like grieve out loud. So.
And I'm sitting here thinking as you're talking, I would think part of it, an inkling of it would be memories. Why people push it aside. Like,
yeah,
there's like no memories. I have 17 yeah. years of memory
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
Alana.
Mm-hmm.
So people can kind of grasp that there's yeah, memories yeah. with this baby.
Yes, yes.
Looking at
but
you,
it's like
you're
in that pregnancy, and I know that it sounds like foreign because, like, you know, some people have babies, lose their babies very early,
mm-hmm.
and their grief is just as valid as somebody who lost theirs at 40 weeks. You yeah. know, like I met all different people on the spectrum.
Wow.
And they're affected in all different ways, but I think the acknowledgement that this baby held space. It's like once you know that yeah. you're having a baby, it doesn't matter if they were like 1 day old.
Yep.
Once you know, you feel like okay, mother activated. You know.
Yep. Mother so space.
When,
yep.
When you hear like I'm grieving for the future I never got.
Yeah.
So like it's not only this baby, it's I never got the first steps. I never got the first bus ride, kindergarten. I never get to walk, you know, be with yeah. my son at his wedding. Like all of those things are gone yeah. in a matter of a day.
Yeah.
So you don't think about like the longevity of what that holds because mm-hmm. even as I have living kids, I see all the things I miss with DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah. I'm like, oh, I have, look at all these things I've gotten to do with my living sons that I never will get to do. So it almost like, points you back to your grief, and that's why yeah. I said I had to find a way to honor and celebrate because if not, I would be a mess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would be your advice or your to moms who's going through this?
Yeah.
As far as you know, you had that nurse to tell you this is when you need to get help.
Yeah, yeah. I would absolutely say number one. Grieve authentically. And when I say that, I mean, like, sometimes you're going to have to break and it's going to be hard because grief is not cute.
Not at all.
You can't fake your way through it and you can't outrun it. So it's like you're sit in it. And when you feel those feelings, like, acknowledge. And sometimes I tell, like, the people that I work with, write it down, video yourself, like, whatever feels good.
Yeah.
Find one person you can tell that will be a listening ear because a lot of times people want to fix it. And I was like, there's no fix because you can't bring my baby back. So
no
unless you have that power, then there's nothing to fix this. So finding people that can listen without judgment. And you being honest, because I think a lot of times we're just like, I'm fine. No, you're not. You're not fine.
Yeah.
And say that. And like, and find the people, because you're going to find people that are like, I don't want to do it. She's doing this for attention. She's stuck in her grief. She needs to move
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
You're going to find the crowd. But you're also going to find the people that you would have never expected to step up. And I found that in some friends that I was just like, you know, we were cool. But when right. it happened, they were there. And that meant so much to
yeah.
me, just having a listening ear. So find those people. And when you need help, seek it. And don't be, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, this is your life. You get to live it like yep. you need to. And when I say I honor my son, like I said, I have pictures, we have paintings of him. Mm-hmm. We have, I do in April, his due date was supposed to be April 7th. So I do good for DJ Day. And I ask all my family and friends, do something nice for somebody else in honor of DJ.
Yeah.
So that's like my way to pour back into the world goodness.
Yeah.
In honor of him, you know, so it's like, you don't have to stop parenting your kid because they're not physically here. Mm-hmm. And you get to decide what that looks like. I said, I do mine out loud. So people mm-hmm. are like, oh, do I need to start a social media? Do I need to write a book? Do I?
Nope. Nope.
You never have to even mention your baby to anybody if you don't want to. But you can do whatever. I always say, do what feels good to your soul. Yeah. And so do that, but don't do this alone. That's my biggest yeah. thing. Don't do it alone. Wherever, if it means finding support group specifically for baby loss, or if it just means talking to somebody, a friend, a counselor, whatever. Just don't do it alone, because your mind, it can get to a dark place.
Yes.
And when you find validation, that's when it feels like, okay, I don't have to, you know, wallow in the sorrow. I don't have to suffer in my grief. I can let it come, but I don't have to suffer in it.
Yes.
And I think that's the difference than just I'm feeling it, yeah, and I'm gonna be fine. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
But I also will allow myself to find joy, find pockets of happiness, and my connection with God was, you know, it was my lifeline.
Oh yeah.
And say I was mad at God, we was mad. I was mad. We had
I still have choice words.
Then I was like, I also felt like he was there. Like when they say in the depths, I was I was in the depths. I felt like it was literally no one else. Mm-hmm. And I felt comforted. So I was like, it was a juxtaposition, but I was like, I'm here. I don't know what it means, but I am here.
I'm here.
Yeah. So I would just say, just find your tribe and don't do this by yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you need to know where, like even where to begin, please reach out to me, because I will try my hardest. Like, I don't want anybody to do this by yourself, because it's hard.
Yeah. And that's, I'm going to, before I do your, let you do your social media links and your book and where you can be reached, I have to ask you what I ask all of my mamas before we end the interview.
Yes.
So what is your hopes of heaven?
That's such a loaded question.
Yeah, it
is. But I think when I heard you say that, my mind went two places. One, my one hope is that one day I'll get to see my son again, because I believe that heaven is real and God is real. And I know that my son, I said, that's one thing that was kind of a solace. There was a quote that said, when he opened his eyes, the first thing he saw was Jesus. And so that, when I hear that, I'm like, okay, you're not in this raggedy place that we live right now.
Oh, yeah.
You are living in bliss. You don't know anything but joy and love. And so I was like, I want to know that version of my son. And I was like, I just want to hug him, hold him, say, I missed you. I hope you knew that, like, I was living my life out for you.
Yes.
That, and then my other hope is that we can continue to fight against, losing our babies, preventable ways. And so I'm kind of starting to get into the legislative side of things, with different organizations, and so hoping we can prevent this so that other parents can go home happy and not empty-handed. So that's kind of my mission now, to make sure that we're preventing, and then for those who do experience, to have resources for them so that they're not alone.
Wonderful. And then now, go ahead. Where can moms reach you? Go ahead and give us your books, your social media. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram mostly. That's where I am. I have a Facebook. I'm not as active. I probably need to get back in the swing of thing over there. Uh-huh. But on Instagram and Facebook, I am Allie Andy Enterprise. So it's Aliande Enterprise, Enterprise. So you can find me there. DM me, write me. I write back.
She does.
Say hi. Like, if you, I always say, like, my DMs are open, because a lot of people are like, I don't know who to tell this to, so can I vent to you? Lay it on me, girl. So find me there. And like I said, if you need a resource, I know plenty of different organizations that do this work. So if you need to that help, I can hopefully point you to that. I am a facilitator of a support group that I mentioned earlier for people of color. So if you're interested in that, we actually have one coming up March 26th. We start. And so if you're interested, please DM me and I can kind of point you to how you can register and sign up. It's through an organization called RTZ Hope. And you can go to their website as well, rtzhope.org. Okay. And then lastly, I wrote a book. So if you want to get my book, it's on Amazon, and it is called Still Here, A Memoir of Love, Loss, and Triumph After Stillbirth.
Wow.
Connect with me, find me.
Yes. Wonderful. Alicia, it has been a pleasure. A
pleasure. Thank you.
I know that you have touched so many with your story and me.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Just an eye opener, if nothing else. Just an eye opener. So I just want to thank you for joining me today. And just a wonderful mom doing a wonderful work for us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I send my love to all of your listeners and you. Thank you for doing what you do and allowing this platform.
Thank you.